I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out, for the world in its present form is passing away. These are St. Paul's urgent words to the Corinthians, which we heard in our second reading. Once again, we are reminded, my friends, we are reminded of the precious gift of time. Time, as you may have heard me say before, time is the chronological space in which to love. Life is short. Even if we were to live to old age, human life is short. So we need to make the best use of our time. St. Anthony of Egypt, whose memorial coincides with the memorial of Our Lady of Hope, our parish feast day, St. Anthony, who was considered a father of monasticism and lived to the age of 105, said, "Let each person consider that he may not live until the evening, and at night consider that he may not live to see the morning. Therefore," he said, "do every action, as if it were your last." Very wise, isn't it? Very wise. In today's gospel, Jesus inaugurates his public ministry in Galilee, proclaiming the gospel. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is the time of fulfillment, meaning that in Jesus, God is breaking into history to fulfill his promises and bring his whole plan to completion. It is a decisive moment, and it marks the definitive stage in salvation history. And with the announcement of the time of fulfillment and the inauguration of his kingdom, Jesus demands a twofold response from his listeners. Repent, he says, and believe in the gospel. First, repent. Turn away from sin. Turn away from sin. Turn back to God. Repentance is all about turning, changing. Then secondly, believe in the gospel. In other words, Jesus is saying that his hearers should trustingly accept and yield to what God is doing in him. The kingdom is near enough that anyone who so chooses can reach out and lay hold of it through faith. The liturgy presents us with two stories about human responses to God's call to repent and to believe in his word. First, in the story of Jonah, God threatens the Ninevites with destruction. And remember, they were pagans. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And the people led by their king had an immediate change of heart. You know, what the sacred author said, the city was so big it took 3 days to go through it. And after the first day of hearing Jonah say, 40 days more, that Nineveh will be destroyed, they repented. They proclaimed a fast and did penance as a sign of their submission to God's will. And God relented of his plan to punish them. More precisely, the text says that Nineveh repented or turned away from their evil ways, and God repented or turned away from punishing them. The second story involves the call to discipleship recounted in today's gospel. Jesus asks the four fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, to accept a complete and permanent change of lifestyle in order to take on a completely different vocation. They were to become, as Jesus said, fishers of men. And euthys, the Greek word which means immediately, and which is not translated in the English text, unfortunately, immediately, euthys, they abandoned their nets and followed Jesus. They trustingly accepted and yielded to what God was doing in Jesus of Nazareth. There was no hesitation, no discussion, no questions, no guarantees. Instead, there was a complete change of life. They left everything and followed Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, God's word should prompt our personal and individual reflection on the state of our conversion to Christ. Have I made the definitive choice to follow Jesus? Have I trustingly accepted and yielded to what God has done in Jesus of Nazareth and what Christ is still doing in and through his body, the church? If not, what is holding us back? What is holding me back? Make it personal. What is it that seems so difficult to sacrifice for the sake of Christ? In Christian tradition, the Ninevites are referred to as a model of repentance. In the beginning of the second century, Pope St. Clement of Rome mentioned the Ninevites in his letter to the Corinthians. And Jesus himself, against the hard-heartedness of the scribes and Pharisees, told them, at the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And there is something greater than Jonah here. Something greater than Jonah. Someone greater than Jonah. And he is here. He's here in the tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, every Christian is chosen by Christ personally and is given an irreplaceable role to advance the kingdom of God, along with the resources to carry it out. Simon, Andrew, James, and John were called to be apostles. Everyone in this church either has his or her own particular vocation, husband, wife, priest, single person, or is in the process of discerning one. Nevertheless, the universal call is to holiness within the context of being a follower of Christ. Following Christ means a break with the past, especially the past of sin, and a willingness to let go of all other attachments. Everything and everyone is in second priority to him. When we pray the Our Father, we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That invocation, my friends, is meant to have concrete meaning in our lives. It is to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me." In me. And we know that following Christ is no easy task. On the one hand, our human nature is weak, strengthened as it may be, and is, no doubt is, from God's grace. No? But we need to be renewed in God's grace constantly to do his will, to yield to what he asks of us in the inspirations that the Holy Spirit gives us. So it's very important that we stay close to Christ. And on this Sunday of the Word, third Sunday in ordinary time is the Sunday of the Word, right? That means we should be especially challenged today to be renewed in that commitment of spending time with God's Word. That means with Holy Scripture, with the Bible. With the Bible. You know, a wise person once said, when we go to the judgment, Jesus will look at each one of us and say, "Did you read my book? Did you read my book?" And it won't do any good to say, "Well, I have it," or "I had it." You know, it's not enough to have it. We have to read it. God's word is alive. God's word is alive. And remember, we're alive too. So the fact that, you know, if we read a passage we've read before, we're a different person today than we were at that time when we first read the passage, or whenever it was we read the passage. And I find it true in my own life that when I'm reading Scripture, you know, something will come to me. You know, an idea or a thought will come to me. Maybe even a person will come to me. And that's God touching my heart, saying, you know, you better do this. where this is something you should consider. Give this a chance in your life. Very, very important that we be people of the book, God's Word, Scripture, and that we spend time with it each and every day. So, my friends, let us keep St. Paul's words, very important words, fixed in our minds as a daily incentive to do the works of Christ. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out, for the world in its present form is passing away. Let us, with the grace of God, take up the wonderful challenge of love and holiness. Let us do the works of Christ by living the gospel, by loving God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and by living the golden rule. In this way, we will hasten the arrival of the kingdom in its fullness. And on the last day, whenever that day may be, we shall behold the glory of God, who is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.